Let's talk Game Time, people, and the holiday season. Game Time's all about togetherness. And isn't the holiday season all about that, too? The answer is yes. This means when you bring people together at live events, the experience is that much better, and it's the perfect gift. And Game Time has this new feature called Game Time Picks. It makes getting tickets for live events even easier. I love using Game Time Picks because it filters out all the fluff, shows you only the incredible deals you want on the great seats you need, so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. And then there's that all-in pricing feature I love. You see your total up front. There's no surprise fees at checkout. The price that they tell you is the price that you're going to buy. It's unbelievable. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
This episode is brought to you by Google Gemini. With the Gemini app, you can talk live and have a real-time conversation with an AI assistant. It's great for all kinds of things, like if you want to practice for an upcoming interview, ask for advice on things to do in a new city, or brainstorm creative ideas. And by the way, this script was actually read by Gemini. Download the Gemini app for iOS and Android today. Must be 18 plus to use Gemini Live.
Oh my God, you guys are my favorite.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The one and only
Rich Eisen.
I know what I'm talking about. That's the headline.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Dan Schwartzman.
OMG.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh.
And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Dan Schwartzman.
And welcome into the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman with you today and tomorrow. Sitting in the big boy chair for Rich. The big guys get the holidays off. The little guys like me get to work on the holidays. Art Martinez on the other side of the glass. Always a pleasure.
I'm the smallest guy.
That's right. You know your hierarchy in this thing, right?
Don't exactly.
You? You know where you stand. Well,
but I'm working everywhere. It's like I'm the smallest guy, but I'm working all these shows. It's unbelievable.
Yes, because the smallest guy works the most. That's how it works in real life. We got a lot to get into today. Yesterday, of course, the Christmas Day doubleheader, and I gotta clap it up for Netflix. I really do. You know, I really have to clap it up for Netflix.
Why? Why is that?
Because they could have really screwed things up yesterday, and it got off to a rough start with the pregame show. There seemed to be a couple of errors there. There were little glitches, things like that. It seemed that Kay Adams'
microphone. I was running the Westwood One broadcast, so I wasn't really watching that.
Yeah, it just seemed that, what was it, the Kay Adams' mic wasn't turned on maybe for about 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yep.
But whatever.
It happens to me, too, you know. It happens to the best of us.
It happens. But now, here's the thing, though. Like, the actual game broadcast itself, I thought went well. There were no glitches. They seemed to correct the issues that arose during the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight last month. A lot of concerns whether they could get their act together. This was their first foray into live game action in something as major as the NFL. You knew millions upon millions of people would be watching. And I thought they did a nice job. It worked out. Sure, people, listen, when people are talking about Patrick Mahomes' awkward reaction to be given a cake, then you know the actual broadcast itself seemed to go off without a hitch. So, kudos to Netflix. They got things correct. They paid a boatload of money to broadcast the Christmas Day doubleheader. About $150 million is what's being reported that they paid for those two games. It's a lot of money, $75 million a game. But they're printing money. Those streaming services like Netflix, Amazon Prime, they're all printing money.
Hulu, yeah, absolutely. Hulu,
they're printing the money. So it's no big deal for them to shell out that kind of money. And that's the future, right? I'm not the biggest fan.
I know. I'm not the biggest fan. Am I going to have to get subscriptions all over the place? It's like, dude.
Yes,
really?
You are.
I need one company to put it all together for me.
No. It's the way it works is everybody is going in that direction. People are cutting the cord left and right. Look, I watch a fair amount of TV, probably not as much as I used to. And at one point, I had all the channels. When you work in sports, you need to have a lot of channels.
And you can write it off.
You can write it off, but there's real sports on this channel, real sports on that channel, live broadcasts on this and that. And then before you know it, you literally have every single channel. And when I would move, I'd call the cable provider in that town or city and say, listen, just give me everything. And I find myself now, because I audited myself last week in terms of what am I actually watching.
Are you a tax consultant?
No, I'm auditing my own viewership in terms of am I really watching enough network TV to justify spending as much money as I do on cable. And the answer is I don't. I really don't watch a lot of cable.
Yeah, because guys like you and me were always at the studio. I know you're at the studio a lot.
But it's also the fact of all the shows.
Tell us what you do on the side.
No, but here's the thing. But Art, the bottom line is, when it comes to what you watch, clearly.
You want to tell us that you work at Bloomberg?
I work all over the place. I do a lot of different things. You know, why not? It's fun. Radio is a fun job. But when it comes down to it, most of us are just watching series on streaming. That's what we do. And I like shows. I like to watch them. I like to binge watch. I'm looking forward to releases coming out in January and February. And I don't like commercials. And on network television, besides watching sporting events, which you now, by the way, can watch on most streaming services, what are we really watching? Okay, you know, you got the premium channels, but you can get all those movies and stuff with the streaming services. There are not a lot of shows on network television that I'm dying to watch. Yeah, I used to enjoy, you know, Blue Bloods, NCIS, all those types of shows, but I don't sit there going, man, when's the next episode coming out? If I'm flipping through channels and it shows up, great. So for Netflix to foray into live sports, Amazon to get Thursday Night Football, whatever it might be, for all these streaming services to throw boatloads of money at professional sports,
yeah,
makes a Hulu, ton of sense.
Hulu has ESPN Plus.
Right. So it all comes down to the fact that there is ample opportunity now to watch all the sports you want to watch, and in the future it's only going to become more and more without having to spend a ton of money on cable subscriptions. And I talked to the wife about it. I said, look, why are we spending all this money? You barely watch TV. I don't watch a lot of TV anymore. When we do end up turning on the TV, we just seem to always go to Netflix or Amazon, Apple TV, whatever it is. We're not going to the networks. And it just makes you think, with all the people complaining. But most of the people, by the way, that complain when you have live sports on streaming services are elderly people that don't really understand how to log in. They don't get it. Like, my parents are old. My dad's 90. My mom's 82 or 83. And they don't understand Netflix. They don't understand how to log in. I'm like, if you want my account, I'll give you my account. Go watch something. They have no idea how to do it. And they're the ones, I think, that are sitting there. And I do feel sorry for that more elderly group who is not as tech savvy as we are. For us, it's easy just to, okay, we log in, our username and password are saved, and boom, you press Netflix, the app, boom, you're right there. So to watch live football yesterday, two games, wasn't a big deal. But for the more older crowd, it is a big deal. And I think that's where the complaints come, when it's everything's going to streaming and I can't keep track and I don't know what's going on, yada, yada, yada. I do understand the complaints. But again, congratulations to Netflix. They aired both games yesterday. Really no issues except for that beginning of the pregame show. They cleared that up quickly and they got it done. Now, here's the issue that I have. What we watched yesterday was just garbage. You know, Mike Tomlin is a great coach. And how do I know that Mike Tomlin is a great coach? Because he once again wins 10 games and he doesn't have a very good team. Okay, they got blown out yesterday, 29-10.
At home.
Wasn't really competitive. They were down 13-0 after the first quarter. He has quarterback issues. Russell Wilson is just not that good.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the bottom line when it comes down to Russell Wilson, okay? Russell Wilson is going to be a very interesting Hall of Fame debate when that time comes. He's already 36 years old. He's going to play a bit longer, but I'm not sure how many more years he has as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And what I mean by that is I don't know how many more teams are going to give him an opportunity to be a starter in this league. I had no doubt after the 2021 football season that Russell Wilson was on his way to Canton, Ohio. Okay, that was his last year in Seattle. And he had a heck of a 10-year run in Seattle where you thought to yourself, no-brainer. Won a Super Bowl.
Super
almost
Bowl,
won a
yeah.
second Super Bowl.
Should have won a second.
Should have, if not for that pass, stupid play calling. Tons of yards, tons of touchdowns, very, very low interceptions. This guy's on his way to Ken. What a great story. Third-round pick. Remember, he transferred from North Carolina State to Wisconsin. Gets drafted third round. Ah, he's too short, yada, yada, yada. Seattle signs Matt Flynn, gives him like $10 million in 2012. Russell Wilson comes to camp as a rookie, wins the job, and never looked back. Goes to Denver, and just the bottom fell out. And the last 3 years, between 2 years in Denver and this year in Pittsburgh, you just think to yourself, was that more Pete Carroll and the offense that they put together in Seattle? Or has Russell Wilson at the age at that time of, I guess, 33, has he just fallen off the cliff? Because it hasn't worked out well since he left. And this year with Pittsburgh, he's nothing special. I do believe he's better than Justin Fields. I've never doubted they made the right move in terms of going with Russell Wilson over Justin Fields. I never liked Justin Fields as a player. He shows the flashes, but there's no consistency there. But Mike Tomlin seems to win 10 games a year since the retirement of Ben Roethlisberger with smoke and mirrors. They have lost three straight games against really good teams, which shows you they're not in the same class. They're not. Pittsburgh's not in the same class with Kansas City. They're not in the same class with Buffalo. They lost to Baltimore the week before. They lost to Philly the week before that. They're mired in a three-game losing streak, and they don't control their own destiny in winning the AFC North at this point. That's what it comes down to. So Russell Wilson, after this debacle, 29-10, again, not a competitive game. They didn't look good at all. They're not scoring any points right now. One touchdown is all they got, and that was Russell Wilson rushing for a touchdown. He spoke about this afterwards.
There's going to be adversity in every season, and it comes in different spaces and places and different times. And, I'm betting on our guys and who we are and how we're going to respond. I really believe in who we are, the character of guys, the mentality that we have. It's been a tough road, obviously, the past 3 weeks. We haven't been able to overcome some of the challenges along the way, you know, and we got to make that a good thing for us. Our belief can't waver. Matter of fact, we got to turn it up even more on our belief, you know, and I think that's a key part to how we respond in the midst of adversity.
Got to believe. Right, you got to believe.
Listen, he says the right things. I cannot complain about what he says, but I'm looking at this roster and I'm not that impressed. There's not that many great players on this Steelers team.
I was running the Westwood One broadcast yesterday, and I'm in my championship game in my fantasy league, and the guy I'm playing against has got Mahomes, and the Steelers defense could not stop him for the life of me, man. I'm screaming and yelling at the TV.
They did nothing to defend. Hey, look,
nothing.
Mahomes has not had a great season. He hasn't. We're accustomed to a lot more from Patrick Mahomes. We're accustomed, and we've gotten spoiled, obviously, 5,000 yards, 40, 50 touchdowns. I mean, we've gotten spoiled watching the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. And this year, he's been very good. What he's done this year would satisfy pretty much most fan bases of the NFL, not named, I guess, the Buffalo Bill fan base and a couple of other teams that have really great quarterbacks. But in terms of what he's done this year, this isn't the typical Mahomes. Right? I mean, he's probably not going to hit 30 touchdowns unless he throws for four touchdowns in the finale, if he even plays in the finale. They're 15-1. They've clinched the top seed in the AFC. They've clinched a bye in the first round of the playoffs. So he looked like the old Mahomes just because Pittsburgh's defense wasn't there. There was a milestone, though, for the Kansas City Chiefs in yesterday's game. Take a listen.
Mahomes moves Kelce in motion to the right of the offensive line. And the snap, belt high, back to throw. Mahomes rolling right, looking downfield, lets it fly to the end zone. Wide open, Travis Kelce has a touchdown, Kansas City. It's a 12-yard score, and Kelce dunks the football on the goalpost. It's a Christmas Day score for Kelce, and the Chiefs extend the lead. It's 28-10 with 12:38 to play in the fourth.
And that is courtesy of Westwood One Sports. And Travis Kelce with that touchdown reception, passing Tony Gonzalez for most touchdown receptions in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. He has 77.
And he was wide open.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, you look at the numbers of what
Can anybody
Travis Kelce
cover that guy?
Done, It's incredible, you know, for a guy picked in the third round.
And how old is he?
He's 35 years old now. And he has come out here and he's over 12,000 yards in his career. He went over with this game. He went over 1,000 receptions in his career, 77 touchdowns. It is staggering what he's done. And even as he slows down, because he is slowing down, Travis Kelce is still putting up fantastic numbers. You're looking at a guy this year with almost 100 catches. Sure, the yards per catch is down. He's only averaging 8.5 yards per catch, but he's over 800 yards. You'll have, if he plays in the season finale, you have over 100 catches. He continues to do it. And afterwards, Patrick Mahomes, who's, you know, been there for most of Kelce's career, talked about his tight end.
I was extremely excited. I've been trying to get him a touchdown for the last few weeks, and I wanted to do it at Arrowhead. That's why that play that Xavier almost caught last week where I was trying to throw it to him, and obviously that didn't happen, but I was happy that we got it done the regular season, and now we can just play football. I mean, he's done so much for this organization and on and off the field, and for him to have the career that he's had has been special. And so I know at the end of the day he wants to win the ring more than anything, but it's awesome that he can have that accomplishment.
Hi, all, Kermit awesome. The Frog here, and this is a mystery box.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes isn't the he doesn't sound – it's funny. The way he talks there, he does
Am I a Raider
a little,
fan or not?
You are, but he does sound like Kermit the Frog, and he does run funny on the field, but what a player he is. And I got to tell you, you know, Andy Reid.
Hi, all, Kermit the Frog here, and this is a mystery box.
I was in Philly working in that city when Andy Reid was there. And I liked Andy. I you know, look, he always kind of kept the media at arm's length, but players love him. They'll run through a wall for him. He's had the tragedy with his family, obviously, but what a, you know, to be tied at the hip to Donovan McNabb for those years, who was a really good, solid quarterback, I think 6-time Pro Bowler. And now to be
an ex-NBC sports radio host.
That's right. And then, to be in Kansas City and have himself Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. There's no reason for Andy Reid, as he gets into his late 60s, to hang it up. Just winning games in bunches, 15 more wins this year. He could end up with a 16th win next week. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's accomplished in his career. He could end up as the winningest head coach in the history of the NFL at this point. I think he's like third or fourth in most wins in NFL history. And as long as Mahomes is his starting quarterback in Kansas City for another 10 years, you're talking about another 100-plus wins he's going to get there. Here's Reid after the win.
Hey, Merry Christmas, man. Proud of you, dudes. Proud of you. For the present, you get home field advantage, my man.
Yes, sir.
They love him.
Ugh.
They absolutely love Andy Reid.
And he dressed up as Santa Claus in the locker room there.
Or as Mahomes said, skinny Santa is what he was like. I like him. Cannot argue with the success Andy Reid has had. All right, we're going to get into the NFL.
Hi,
Pete Carroll
is the Frog here, and this is a mystery box.
Is Pete Carroll going to be a consideration for the Chicago Bears? Aaron Rodgers, the latest with him and Woody Johnson and the Jets, is that heading for an ugly divorce? And the Russell Wilson question, you know, Pittsburgh staggering along, win 10 games this year, yet again, a lot of it Mike Tomlin, but what does it mean for Russell Wilson and his future with Pittsburgh? A lot to get into. Trey Wingo, DraftKings, he's going to join us next. We are just underway on a Thursday, the day after Christmas. That's right. Hope Santa was nice to all of you out there. 3 hours. You got me here. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich, right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here, and this is a mystery box.
As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions, so you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's talk Game Time, people, and the holiday season. Game Time's all about togetherness. And isn't the holiday season all about that, too? The answer is yes. This means when you bring people together at live events, the experience is that much better, and it's the perfect gift. And Game Time has this new feature called Game Time Picks. It makes getting tickets for live events even easier. I love using Game Time Picks because it filters out all the fluff, shows you only the incredible deals you want on the great seats you need, so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. And then there's that all-in pricing feature I love. You see your total up front. There's no surprise fees at checkout. The price that they tell you is the price that you're going to buy. It's unbelievable. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich. It's the Rich Eisen Show here on a Thursday. A lot of NFL talk after the Christmas Day doubleheader. Two non-competitive games, 29-10, KC over Pittsburgh. Baltimore destroys Houston, 31-2. Here to talk about all of it from DraftKings, Trey Wingo. And Trey, Merry Christmas, or Happy Hanukkah to you and the family. Hope Santa was nice to you, my friend. How are you?
Dan, everything was great. Yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to you. We had a great Christmas celebration. Santa was great. Everything is wonderful. Happy to be on with you as always, and we got an interesting stretch to the season coming up here.
We do, and I want to start out, you know, Lamar Jackson with yet another phenomenal performance, two touchdown passes, rushes for one. Yeah. Congratulations to Lamar. He passes Michael Vick as the all-time leading rusher for a quarterback in NFL history. You got him, you got Josh Allen, you have Saquon Barkley. They seem to be the three guys that have separated themselves from the pack in the MVP conversation. Trey, who's your league MVP right now?
Listen, it's an interesting debate. And by the way, before you go anywhere further, just what you just said, I don't think people fully understand. Lamar Jackson is 27 years old, and he just set the record for the most rushing yards by a quarterback. I mean, think about that. He's 3 years away from 30, and he's already got the record. I think we forget sometimes how easy it is to just say, oh, he's doing this. He's 27, and no quarterback has rushed for more yards in the history of this game that has been played for over 100 years. It's remarkable. Insane. All that being said, that's not germane to the MVP discussion because that's a career thing. Look, I think there's still a heavy sentiment towards Josh. I still think Lamar can absolutely win it, but there will be a section of voters out there that will say, look, Lamar has been amazing, but how much better has he improved with Derrick Henry being there? And then you look at what Josh does, and it's really more of a one-man show for Josh in Buffalo. He lost Stephon Diggs. He lost a bunch of receivers. He lost Gabe Davis. You know, there's been this massive turnover. They had real problems defensively. They lost a bunch of leadership and veteran guys, and they turned it over, and they're still doing really well. I think the only way Saquon has a legitimate chance is if he breaks the record, and he may do it. But this has become such a quarterback-driven award, fair or unfair. That's just the reality of the situation. I would still lean toward Josh, but I think Lamar has – I mean, Josh didn't play very well in that game against the Dolphins. You know, it was a defensive touchdown that – I mean, excuse me, against the Patriots. It was a defensive touchdown that really sealed that game. So let's say he has another clunker against the Patriots or the Jets, and Lamar continues to do these things. I think there's every opportunity for Lamar to overtake him.
It's funny because it's become kind of like the Heisman Trophy, right? Travis Hunter wins it, but usually it's a quarterback-driven trophy. What you said is accurate. If Saquon Barkley breaks the single-season rushing record, which he certainly can do in the final couple of games, that means he's done something nobody in the league has ever done. Now, Lamar's been great. Right. Josh has been great. But they're not exactly reinventing the wheel here. They're not setting records, per se, the way that Saquon Barkley could. And in any other year, really, or even 10 years ago, Saquon Barkley would clearly be atop this conversation because what he's done has been incredible. And for me, if he breaks the record, he certainly is the MVP. If not, you're right. It's going to be an interesting debate between quarterbacks with Lamar. What's great about Lamar, and as you mentioned, 27 years old, already the NFL's all-time leading rusher for a quarterback. It's the work ethic that's allowed him to be more than just a running quarterback, Trey. That's what impressed him. He comes out of Louisville, a lot of questions. Can he do it with his arm? Completion percentage wasn't that high at Louisville, despite how great he was. I have to say, not many people must work as hard as Lamar Jackson, because when you look at how a player's improved over the years from year one to where he is now, I give the kid a ton of credit because he can do it with the arm now. It's not just because of the legs that they win games. And I got to say, you know, Andy Reid, John Harbaugh spoke about it yesterday about just kind of watching Lamar Jackson and how good he's become. I'm impressed, Trey, because he now can win games with his arm, something a couple of years ago I think was debatable.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Real quickly before we move on from Saquon, you're right. And the last non-quarterback to win it was Adrian Peterson for the Vikings when he came within, I think, 9 yards of breaking Eric's record. But again, there will be some people that say, but if he doesn't do it in 16 games, I think that's 17 now, right? I mean, that's the way people are going to look at it. And Saquon, it's not like Saquon has missed a game. If you're like, when T.J. Watt broke Michael Strahan's sack record, people are like, well, he did it. I'm like, bro, he missed 4 games. Okay, so he actually did it in 13, you know? So he put that into the consideration. I do think that will be held against him, whether that's fair or unfair. I don't want to go whole Roger Maris, you know, Babe Ruth thing here, but I think some people will look at that a little differently. The Lamar thing is fascinating. You're right. He can do those things now, but I feel like both with Josh and Lamar, if we're looking long-term, it's okay, cool, now show me in the postseason, right? Because we can say whatever we want about Lamar and the Ravens, and believe me, I will die on this hill. Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. Teams win games, teams lose games. But your quarterback can certainly help you win games. And in the postseason, with Lamar under center, the Ravens are 2-4. To put that in some sort of perspective, the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes have won more Super Bowls, 3, than the Ravens have won playoff games with Lamar, 2. I mean, that's a massive distinction there. And you're going to need, for a lot of people, I mean, this has nothing to do with the MVP, I get it, it's a regular season award, but we're talking about how we see Lamar, is what you said. I think people are going to be, hey, it's awesome that he does this. But until you can dance your way and throw your way to being in New Orleans, I have my reservations.
Chatting with Trey Wingo from DraftKings here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Thursday. The Chiefs are 15-1. The one blemish was the loss at Buffalo, 30-21. Buffalo's great with Josh. Obviously, Kansas City's very, very good with Patrick Mahomes. To me, it comes down to this. Maybe it's the coaching. And Trey, if push comes to shove in an AFC Championship game, and it doesn't come down to the quarterback play because they're both great, are you going to put your money more on Andy Reid or Sean McDermott at this point?
Well, absolutely I'm putting my money on Andy Reid. And it's not a knock against Sean, but let's just go back to some of the decisions in critical moments in playoff games that the Bills coaching staff has made, okay? The 13 seconds in the 2021 divisional round. They kick it out of the back of the end zone. Why would you do that? Give them an opportunity to burn 5-6 seconds off the clock so you only have time for one play as opposed to the two, which set up the game-time field goal for Harrison Butker. Now we go back to last year's divisional playoff game at Orchard Park. Okay, they're down, I think they were down or tied, and they went for it inside their own 35-yard line on a fake punt. First of all, if you're going to go for it, I believe Josh Allen's probably your best option, right? So you're going to go for it, put your unicorn out there. Instead, they I think it was DeMar Hamlin who got the fake punt, and they stuffed him. And Mecole Hardman doesn't fumble the ball across the goal line. Chiefs probably win that game by 10. So that's a fancy way of using examples to say, I will absolutely go block with Andy Reid over Sean McDermott, which is not to say Sean is a bad coach, but I think situationally, and even the game this year at Houston, okay, which was one of their those two losses in a row, you know, they were pinned deep in their own end zone or like close to their own end zone with very little time on the clock, and they threw it three straight times, taking no time off the clock incompletion, which allowed Kaimi Fairbairn to kick that game winner, you know, from 50-plus yards. They put themselves in a situation to lose the game by choices the coaching staff made. So I will always pick the Andy Reid scenario over that. And look, I have plenty of numbers to tell you why I'm never betting against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's 15-3 in the postseason with the Chiefs. 15-3.
Wow.
And two of those losses were to a guy who's getting paid $37 million to call games right now, Tom Brady. And the other one is to Joe Burrow and the Bengals in that AFC Championship game. And, you know, we're not sure the Bengals are even getting into the postseason. They have a chance. So I'm riding with the guy who I feel like will always find a way to get it done when push comes to shove.
Trey, let's stay at the quarterback position. And let me preface the question by telling you I have been a Jet fan for about 40 years. I've suffered greatly.
My condolences.
Thank you.
My condolences. No one should suffer this much.
That's why Rich is suffering as well. But, you know, it comes down to this. Aaron Rodgers, the whole debate now, and this story that came out last week that Woody Johnson's relying on Madden ratings, true or not, whatever, it's ridiculous, and his teenage sons are helping him make decisions. Doesn't surprise me when you look at the futility of this team. Look, Aaron Rodgers has not been great, but he also is coming off an Achilles injury, which takes a while to come back from, especially at his age. I don't think he's been terrible this year. In fact, I think outside of Chad Pennington and one year from Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's probably the best Jets quarterback I've seen in a long time. Is it ridiculous for the Jets? And the cap number's not crazy next year. He's willing to renegotiate. And if he is released, it's a huge dead money cap hit. Why would the Jets get rid of a guy who, again, may not be great anymore, but he's still pretty damn good compared to whatever else is out there? It's insanity to me to think that it's a given that the guy's not coming back when he's still to be the best option they have.
You're not wrong in that scenario, right? But I think at some point the question then becomes, what is the worth or the weight of doing this over again versus the idea, look, eventually we're going to have to burn this thing down. Like, eventually this is coming, okay? For example, I think the Jets have 28 players on expiring contracts. 28 players. On expiring contracts this year, which is a huge number, okay? What are they going to be able to afford? How are they going to be able to afford to put this thing together? And, you know, we have clearly seen there's a disconnect between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and where he should be using the offense. And Garrett Wilson is a kid that can make a lot of plays and has a bright future in this league.
Yeah.
You're right. Aaron Rodgers has played much better in the last few games. But at some point, if you want to be taken seriously as an organization, like, to me, the Jets are so bad and so dysfunctional right now, they make the Bears look competent, okay, in the way the Bears have gone about things, which has been a disaster. That article, to me, just reaffirmed everything I thought about the Jets, and it goes way beyond Aaron Rodgers. Okay, there's a culture change that needs to take place with the Jets, and unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers needs to be part of that culture change because this organization bowed down to him and let him do whatever he wants. And he can say that's not true, but we all have ears and eyes and functioning cerebral cortexes, okay? The moment, like, I thought it was so hilarious to me that after that loss to the Rams, like, we're going to find out who's all in. Dude, you went to Egypt instead of mandatory minicamp, okay? So I think, like, you're maybe the last person who should be telling people what's all in and what isn't all in. You haven't been all in since May, okay? You can read a calendar. I'm pretty sure you could afford a refund or exchange on the excursion rate that you got to visit the pyramids. So you made a choice to put this trip over a mandatory minicamp when, as you said, you're coming off an Achilles and you need to do as many things as you can to get yourself ready for the season. So I think, well, you're right. He's probably their best option. What are we talking about? To hopefully go 9-8 next year, maybe 10-7 and sneak in? Or do we need to look at ourselves and say, what are we doing? And we need to do a hard reset. I can promise you that I know people that were very good friends with Joe Douglas, and they were like, he could not wait to get out of there because of this dysfunction inside the organization. Wow. And it goes way beyond Aaron, But part of it was Aaron and everything that they bowed down to him. The Jets have to rethink the way they do business to be taken seriously as a credible organization.
And with the ownership not changing anytime soon because of the value of franchises, it's probably not going to happen for a long time. I don't know who wants to work.
Well, it's like Jerry Jones. Like the Cowboys will only get better if they fire the general manager. Oh, wait, that's the owner. He's never fired himself.
Trey Wingo from DraftKings joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich. Well, Belichick goes to North Carolina, so whatever, the fountain of youth. Yeah. The report is Pete Carroll is interested in the Bears head coaching job. He's 73 years young. People say he's very energetic and young. Yeah. Are you buying that? Do the Bears, who also need a culture change, do the Bears need to go out there and hire a 73-year-old at this point, Trey?
No, but they need to hire the right guy. Look, Pete Carroll might be for a couple of seasons. And, you know, he's still, like you said, he's very energetic. And I will not age shame either Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll. But, yeah, what are you thinking about long-term right there? Like, what's the five-year plan? The Bears need to get this right because, you know, Caleb has all kinds of talent, but he has some things that need to be fixed. And you can watch him sometimes just hold onto the ball so long. And, you know, they talk about the sacks he's taking. A lot of those are on him. And they've got to get that part right. And by the way, the Belichick thing. Look, I believe him that he's happy at North Carolina. And I believe that, you know, the story about where his dad coached means something to him. But there's a reason he had that clause put in the contract that said after June 1st of next year, that $10 million buyout drops to $1 million.
Yeah,
he was adamant that that was in the contract. You don't just say, oh, hey, just for fun, let's put this clause in the contract. That's an out for him should a dream scenario arise. And a mere pittance to walk away from Chapel Hill whenever he chooses for $1 million when they're paying him $10 million a year. Like, it's not that's there for a reason. That's not an arbitrary thing you put in a contract. So I hope Bill has a wonderful run at Chapel Hill, but he could walk away literally for $1 million before he even coached his first game there if a dream scenario shows up in the NFL.
Yeah, no, and I think the only reason he took the job is no one in the NFL was looking at him. Is
correct.
I think more like it.
Correct.
Because here's the thing, like,
which is kind of weird, right? That's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, but I think it's a power thing. It's to me kind of like Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. As good as Aaron Rodgers is, do you want to put up with everything else where he wants to assume control of player personnel, wants to assume control of this and that? And he may say, as you said, Trey, he may say that's not true, but come on, let's be real. Belichick's not just going to walk in and take orders from some GM who's younger than him, right? It's not happening.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You're exactly right. Every GM in New England was a de facto GM in title only. Bill ran the show. We all know that.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you 100%. All right, Trey, DraftKings, you're with them, obviously. Give us some details as to what's going on with DraftKings and you right now.
Yeah, it's great. We've had this show all season long called the Pregame Power-Up every Monday and Thursday night, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock in beautiful downtown Los Angeles time. We go through every show on primetime, and this is our last Thursday night show. We're going to have shows for the entire postseason. We'll be there for the wild card round, the divisional round, conference championship, getting you ready for those shows as well. And we'll be in New Orleans the entire week of the Super Bowl doing shows all week long. So if you find us on DraftKings Network, it's on YouTube, it's on Roku, Samsung Plus, Sling, you name it, you can find it. We're, again, Monday and Thursdays during the season and then all throughout the playoffs, whenever there are playoff games, we'll be part of that too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You going to the Acme Oyster House in New Orleans when you're down there?
Please, that's on the schedule, absolutely.
I remember I went down there with my dad years ago, and we went to Acme. We just sat there at that counter. You know, it looks like you're in, like, a shower, you know, because it's got that tile counter, but, man.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. It's a good place to sit.
It's a great place to sit. Crawdaddies and oysters, keep them coming, the way to do it. Trey Wingo, DraftKings, listen to the shows. Fantastic shows, as always. Appreciate you hopping on. Again, Merry Christmas to you and your family, buddy.
You too, Dan. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Awesome stuff from our buddy Trey Wingo there. I that's the thing. I mean, Pete Carroll's a great name, right? He's like your uncle. You love Pete Carroll. The cuddly guy, right? Friendly, passionate, energetic. He gets the most out of people. I like Pete Carroll. But I like 63-year-old Pete Carroll. I'm not sure about 73-year-old Pete Carroll when I am talking about a rebuild and having to develop a young quarterback. Now, that's the negative aspect of it. But let me put on my positive thinking cap here. I, you know, Caleb Williams has a ton of talent. I like Caleb Williams. I think he can be an absolute star with the right coaching. Maybe Pete Carroll for a couple of years is what he needs. In those 2 years, he turns the corner, learns the position better, has somebody work with him that obviously did wonders with Russell Wilson in Seattle. And we've seen what Russell Wilson's been like without Pete Carroll. It's a different story. So for the Bears, you're weighing, okay, how many years of Pete Carroll can we really get at 73 years old? But those few years that we may have him for might be what Caleb Williams needs to emerge as a superstar that his talent tells us he will, in fact, become. Because you don't want to waste a couple of more years of Caleb Williams, because if he doesn't learn over the next couple of years, he's a bust, right? Sam Darnold was a massive bust with the Jets. He wasn't good with Carolina, looked like his career was going nowhere. And with proper coaching this year in Minnesota, maybe it's smoke and mirrors, maybe he has turned the corner. He's earned himself a fairly big contract, right? He's having a huge season right now for the Vikings.
And a franchise tag.
And a franchise tag, potentially, but it's going to pay like $30 million. So Caleb Williams, you better bring the right person in right now that is going to get the most out of him, that's going to sit him down and coach him up so that that talent does, in fact, start showing more on the field and he becomes a superstar quarterback we all believe he can be and we saw coming out of USC as a number one overall pick. And maybe Pete Carroll for 2 or 3 years is the guy that gets it out of him. But it's interesting because you're hearing on one side, yeah, Carroll's interested. On the other side, you're hearing, that's not true. Don't let yourself be used by the agent to try to drum up some interest in Pete Carroll. That's a big debate. I do want to get into the Aaron Rodgers discussion because it is kind of comical. Do you bring him back? Do you not bring him back? Is he one of the reasons for the culture being so poor with the Jets, despite the fact that he's probably the best quarterback they've had in a long time? That's next. Dan Schwartzman, we are off and running, talking NFL football. We'll open up the phone lines as well. 844-204-RICH. That's 844-204-7424. A lot of show left to do. Dan Schwartzman on a Thursday in for Rich right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
This episode is brought to you by Bleacher Report. How do you follow sports? From college football to the NBA, Bleacher Report brings you the latest news, live scores, and epic highlights from your favorite leagues, teams, and athletes, all in one app. Dive into exclusive shows hosted by your favorite athletes and original Bleacher Report series with breaking news, rumors, and predictions all season long. Download Bleacher Report to personalize your coverage.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in places that could expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity is stolen, their U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Thursday. Talking a lot of NFL again. Thank you to DraftKings' Trey Wingo for joining us, breaking things down on this show. Don't forget the new Game Time Picks. Curation makes it easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, etc. With the all-in pricing feature, you get the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. That's a great feature. With Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code RICH, R-I-C-H, for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.com for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem code. Spell R-I-C-H. That's simple. For $20 off, download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Remember, the lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, 24-hour returns guaranteed, job loss assurance, on-time ticket delivery as well. No reason not to do the new Game Time picks.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah?
I thought you were going to say R-E-L-A-X.
Oh, relax. We are going to talk
five
a little
letters
Aaron Rodgers
here. Just for everybody out there in Packerland and yourself today. R-E-L-A-X.
Relax.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of my Jets, and I was incredibly excited when he agreed to come to the Jets a few years back. I was excited when he ran out of the tunnel at MetLife Stadium Monday night against, was it Sunday night? I think it was Monday night against the Bills last year.
He calls it Jet Life.
Jet Life. And then four plays into it, that was the end of his first season with the Achilles tear. Well, this year, look, he started off slow, no question about it. Look, he missed an entire season. But overall, Aaron Rodgers, and maybe this speaks more to the lack of success the Jets have had at the quarterback position since Joe Namath, really. But he's been the best quarterback I can remember in Jets history for a long time. I like Chad Pennington. Couldn't stay healthy, though. Fitzpatrick was good for 1 year, and that's about it. Aaron Rodgers has been not bad. He's not great, but not bad. And this whole conversation that's happening in New York, and it's been a very disappointing season. The Jets are supposed to be a playoff contender. They had, what, like seven nationally televised games. They're supposed to, you know, talent-wise, they looked amazing on paper. And it's all gone downhill from opening day.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there. Make peace with it.
There you go. That's what it was. He did his darkness retreat, and this season has been nothing but darkness. And there's some issues, the Garrett Wilson situation. Why is it Garrett Wilson cannot be more involved in this offense? He is a heck of a wide receiver. And maybe it's the familiarity that Rodgers has with Davante Adams, who, by the way, is still very good. But if I'm the Jets, and I understand you need an entire culture change, I get it. But what does that incorporate? Okay,
yeah,
new
what
general
do you do?
Manager.
What do you do?
New general manager, yes. New head coach, yes. Bring in a young quarterback, check. If it's Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or one of these guys in this draft, although none of these guys are that, they wouldn't be a top pick in a quarterback-heavy draft. Last year was a quarterback-heavy draft, and we've talked to people that said Shedeur Sanders would probably be the fourth quarterback taken in that draft. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a star, because Josh Allen, remember, I think was the fourth quarterback taken in the draft he went behind, was it Sam Darnold? You know, that was it. Was that the Darnold draft? Yeah, I think it was. So it's not as if Shedeur Sanders can't turn out to be a superstar just because maybe he's not the best quarterback in a quarterback-heavy draft. Although he probably is the first quarterback taken in this draft. Maybe speaks more to the weakness of the draft than anything else. But you're not going to bring a young guy in and throw him into the fire with the Jets. That never works out. How'd that work out with Wilson? How'd that work out with Darnold? It hasn't worked out well for Zach or Sam, who've now moved on as monumental busts in Jets history. So when Aaron Rodgers this week comes out and says, I'd be willing, of course, to mentor a young quarterback for a year. Absolutely. I sat behind a Hall of Famer in Green Bay. I understand it.
Hey, sat behind him too long.
Too long. Because that's because Brett Favre couldn't decide if he wanted to play or not play. And finally, Green Bay said, enough of this. We're going to get rid of you. And ironically, he went to the Jets. And if he doesn't get hurt, the Jets probably win a lot that year. They're 8-3 when he hurt himself and apparently didn't tell anybody. And the bottom fell out of that season. But Aaron Rodgers probably is still the Jets' best option to win games next year. He is. They're a terribly coached team. Robert Saleh seemed like the nicest guy, and he's a very good defensive mind, and players like him. But he was an awful head coach. Jeff Ulbrich is an awful head coach. The Jets are the worst coached team in the NFL. In fact, sometimes you wonder if they're being coached at all. So if you have a competent coach running the show with the Jets, and I don't know who that is next year, Ben Johnson of Detroit, if he wants the Jets job. I mean, if it's Mike Vrabel, whoever it might be, and please don't be Arthur Smith, and that name's come out a few times as well. That makes absolutely no sense, although apparently Woody Johnson might like the guy. I have no idea. That would not exactly ignite Jets fans to be excited about next year. But it comes down to, you have to figure out who gives you the best chance to win games. You're going to go out there, cross your fingers, and bring Sam Darnold back on a big contract and think to yourself, is he really who he is now, or is it smoke and mirrors because of the coaching he's getting in Minnesota?
Is that a question you really want to answer if he's going to cost you $40 million a year? I don't think so. Rodgers has said he's willing to take a pay cut. He's made plenty of money, as he said. He's willing to mentor a young player. I think this notion that Woody is not bringing him back for next year, and that's a done deal, is just an idiotic notion. Sit back and think to yourself, who's really a better option or not? Speaking of Shedeur Sanders, him and Travis Hunter will be playing in their bowl game, and Colorado has taken out a massive insurance policy on the two players. As good a situation as is that they want to play with their teammates, should they be playing with their NFL futures, possibly something you have to worry about injury-wise. Next, Hour 2, Dan Schwartzman for Rich Eisen right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.